Is there anything better than a summer day in June? A summer day at the diner, of course. Fresh grease and hot coffee, or vice versa. It's Friday, June 23rd, 2006. And welcome. Wow. Will you look at that? Radio. Wow. Will you listen to this? Here, let me get a little closer. It's a water feature. The diner built a water feature. Which, on one hand, seems rather superfluous because the diner is right up against Lake Lalaque on the other side. And a lot of water there. But it's featureless water, you could say. Lake water is different than running water. Lake water, the sounds are the metronomic slap of the waves against the dock, the mosquito drone of the jet skis. You know, running water is different. You hear running water, and it just sets your mind at ease. Unless it's coming in the basement window, of course, in which case you have objections, both general and specific. But overall, people love the sound of running water. It's a big pile of rocks on one side, and the water comes down a waterfall as a meandering stream goes into the recirculating pit. It's quite elaborate. And they did it in a day. Ugh. I was here. I was here for breakfast, having my usual. Scrambled eggs, bacon incinerated, toast bisected in triangular shapes. It's what I always get. I don't even want it anymore, frankly. But, you know, after you've had your usual established, there's nothing you can do about it. I could order French toast every morning for 6 years, and they would still give me the eggs and the bacon and the toast. Anyway, I look out the window, and here comes a truck with some guys with some digging implements and some rocks and the rest, tubes and the rest of it. And when I came back at 4 o'clock, they were just finishing up, filling it up, and heading off. That's stunning. One day. And it works, too. Wow. Hi, folks. Introductions in order. Right, I'm James Lilacs. Not at the moment at my usual place of the long boomerang pattern for Mike encounter. I'm on the parking lot here at the diner out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. You're welcome to join me if you like. I'm heading inside because as much as I would love to stand here and listen to this wonderful sound and enjoy the sight of the summer sun winking off the water as it splashes. Well, inside, that's where the coffee and music is, as they say. And no, I don't know why I said that, because there's no pre-existing expectation that music and coffee will be inside, let alone it being something that they say. I hate that phrase anyway. That's what they say. Never put a lemon on a mosquito bite or it'll kill you. That's what they say. You know, who the hell are they? Is there some international convocation of theys? Meets once a year in Geneva or something? Bohemian Grove? Hands down useless pieces of folk wisdom? It's as irritating as the other thing you find in 40s movies and cartoons. A character who will say, "That's what I always say." "Nothing like having a quarter in the middle of a tornado. That's what I always say." Do you know? Is that what you always say? Nobody likes anybody who always says something, especially if it's a little piece of information that is applicable to one or two situations, but somehow has become this fellow's modus vivendi, his entire means, his prism through which he views the world. "That's what I always say." Well, stop saying it then, because we get the point. That's what I always say. Ah, I'm contradicting myself. Sign of early senility. That's what they say. Enough of this. I'm going inside. You're welcome to come along. Ah, It's just right in here today. It's not too hot, it's not too cold, just right. It's a baby bear temperature. I don't mean the temperature of an actual cub. I mean, as in the story, the baby bear porridge was not too hot, etc. You know it. We all know it. Never gave much thought to it, though. I mean, exactly how did the mother arrange for the porridge to be of differing temperatures? How did you get the porridge to be cold? Now, if one is too hot and one is too cold, it would presume that she took it out of the pot and let it sit for a while so Dad couldn't have it the way he liked it. Who would want cold porridge, like a bowl full of spackle? Yes, I understand that revenge is a dish best served cold, but if you don't have any revenge, I'll take some porridge. Let's see what's on the chalkboard menu today. Ooh, yes indeed. Apple pie with cheese. Is that a regional delicacy? It very well may be. I know it is the way of my people to put cheese upon apple pie and put it in the microwave in our time-honored ancient tradition and make it hot. Oh, man, that's good. I haven't had that for a long time. I used to have it back at the Valley Restaurant when I was a waiter. That was a treat. That was a delicacy. Of course, it took a special kind of cheese. You couldn't use any of your more forceful or extroverted cheese, none of your Parmesans. And you couldn't use anything runny either. And of course, it goes without saying that you couldn't use goat cheese. That's got to be the most, the purest example of truth in advertising ever. Goat cheese. You taste it and you really can taste the goat. But if you're doing cheese and apple pie, no Gruyere, no Brie, no Camembert, no Stilton, no Danish yak's milk, none of that stuff, no Roquefort. It's got to be American cheese, Yank cheese, a big nice slab of it, sawed off, preferably with a, you know, with a stiletto or a switchblade or something, and then slapped in the mic. That's good eating.
I'll have the apple pie, please, with the cheese, and a coffee. Okay.
And she's getting the piece out of the pie tin, and it looks like it's the last one. Man, I hope they have more. That's a popular item. I'd hate to be the guy who took the last piece of pie. Come to think of it, I hate to be the guy who gets the last piece of pie, too. It's always, it's had a rough life, that piece, frankly. It always looks so sad and lonely and forlorn and sawed up and the crust is broken and the innards are spilling out all over the place. Well, I should have waited for somebody else to buy that piece and then gotten the first piece from the next pie they brought out, but what if there wasn't any more pie? God, living in America is just fraught with difficulty and peril. I mean, you get your mindset. Hello. There's a cloud of dust heading toward the diner. Wow, motorcycles. Lots of them. And they're all pulling in the driveway. Look at that, they're all going over to the water feature. How can you not want to go over there and take a look at it? Look at that. They're all just sort of lining up. Hands on hips, arms akimbo, as they say. Actually, their hands don't seem to be on their hips. Oh, no.
No, guys. There's plumbing in here, you know. Plenty of 20th century convenient.
What was the name of that book? The Running Stream by I.P. Freely. Well, there they are, collaborating on the sequel. Great. There's something in the back of their jackets, too. It must be their gang or their colors or just their riding club, whatever. Huh. The Apple Pie Boys. That's a nice piece of logo work, let me tell you. Very retro. Gee, I wonder if I could join. I've been a motorcyclist. Oh, they're coming inside. Quick, let's see if I can find some motorcycling music on the jukebox to get them right at home. Right at home. Some hard looks here. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to play Born to be Wild, you know? Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes, my way. Wow. Highway and my way. Lyrical geniuses, those Steppenwolf guys. Now they're busying themselves with the menus now. And coffee. Seem to be preoccupied. Good. At least they're not acting like, the motorcycle gangs of yore. The Wild Bunch type. 1950s guys with their insouciant attitudes knocking over sugar shakers and goosing waitresses. What was their problem anyway? I know. They wanted to rebel. They were stifled by conformity and all the... But what was their... What was so bad in the 1950s that these guys were so angry about everything? I mean, it wasn't as if the lot of them were regularly being rounded up and sent to work camps. I mentioned before that I had been a motorcyclist. I have been a motorcyclist in my time. Technically, I could join these guys. I mean, why not? It's not like they'd drum you out of the Brotherhood of the Two Wheels if you haven't been up on one for a while. Even though it's been 15 years, and even though that was a scooter. But still, only two wheels. My first motorcycle was a Honda 65. Small, black. I was only about 11 or so. I'm not exactly sure how I got away with this. It's not like my father was paying off the authorities to look the other way while his golden child whipped around town on a motorcycle. We just didn't use it in town. So where, you ask, would you exactly use a motorcycle? Well, you'd have to go out to the farm and drive it around. And my uncle, lived on the farm, bought the same bikes for his kids. So there were three of us with our black Honda 65s running around the back roads of North Dakota. But here's the cool part. That summer, they had completed a stretch of Interstate 29 between Fargo and parts beyond Harwood. I don't know, 10, 20 miles. They hadn't finished the exit ramps, though. They still had some work to do about that. So you had an empty freeway, perfect, pristine, unmarked by cars, and really unmanned by any workmen or gendarmes or any sort of law enforcement. It was ours. It was our own private interstate to go up and down and up and down and up and down in a summer afternoon. Imagine that. One of the virtues of growing up in North Dakota in the 60s. Your own private freeway. And then, of course, this being North Dakota, actually, you know, when they finally did open it up, you'd have a car every hour or so. So you could still pretty much drive around as you saw fit. But you can only be satisfied with 65 cc's for so long. You want more power, more speed. And so, the next summer, I got a 175. I almost said a 350. Seems to be some inherent male desire to double the number of cc's when recalling motorcycles you had. But no, it was a 175. Beautiful machine. Gold flake paint. Chrome stuff coming out all over the place. Went fast. Made noise. Loved it. And I drove that around the back roads of North Dakota until that fateful day by Ponyland. I was making the turn by Ponyland, and well, the roads were asphalt, but they had gravel shoulders, and there was usually 1 or 2 inches raised asphalt above the gravel, and if you caught your wheel just right going around the corner, you'd put it down, and I put it down. Man, did I put that thing down. It tumbled into the ditch and managed to grind the handlebar into the gravel with such force that the gravel got into the throttle and stuck it wide open. So there I am in the ditch with this motorcycle on me going, some of the guys are looking at me. They're laughing at me. I can tell they're sort of smiling into their fists.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I don't care what they think. The fact of the matter is, that was the end of motorcycles for me for a long time. I got up, I pushed the machine off, I stood it up, I turned it off, and I pushed it home. And that was the end of it for a long, long time. As much as I loved motorcycles, as much as I admired them, as much as I found them thrilling and objects of great beauty, it just struck me at that point I didn't want to kill myself on one. And yes, I had a helmet. But there's just something about, you know, picking the denim fibers out of your flesh and finding the little pieces of gravel with a tweezer that just reminds you of the essential fragility of the human body. And some people look at an incident like that and say, I'm done. Some people look at an incident like that and say, you know, I need thicker pants. But I was finished with it, frankly. And it was on to cars for me, because even though I had the usual bad teenage driving skills, if you take that corner at Ponyland a little too quickly in the Ford Kojak era LTD, you're not going to end up in the ditch with the thing on top of you, okay? At most, it'll slide a little bit, and then on you go. There's just not a lot of sliding in motorcycles, in my experience, and if there is sliding, it's not going to end well. Oh well, but I still miss it. Let's see if there are any more motorcycle-themed songs here in the jukebox. Oh my, there's a whole page of them. B2.
Baby, don't you know me? I'm cool, going yeah, 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 yeah. A motorcycle. Ba 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 ba. 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 Ba 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 ba. Whoa, motorcycle. Come on with me, baby, on my red motorcycle. Red motorcycle, and everywhere that I go, everybody.
everybody wants to go. Yeah, 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 motorcycle.
Oh, that was simply delicious. That was about the best piece of pie I've had in a long time. And so triangular. What is it about triangular foods that makes them better? Doritos. Pie. Pizza. This is just something about the triangular nature of them that imparts some ineffable essence. You don't get that out of your square foods. Or it goes without saying you don't get it out of your cylindrical food items either. Oh yes, there are cylindrical foods. If you doubt me, just next time Thanksgiving rolls around, take a can of cranberries, open it up, and glop that thing out. What do you got? You got yourself a cylinder. And is that cylinder equal to a piece of pizza or a good piece of apple pie with cheese? I don't think so. Well, my last motorcycle, as long as we're on the subject today, I guess, was a scooter, which is not really a motorcycle, I know, but it has two wheels. As a motor, it was a zippy little thing, a little Honda. Went forever on a gallon of gas, but I don't know what I was thinking, really. I thought I was going to have some hip, mod, quadrophenia lifestyle going around town on this, but frankly, I've never felt so naked in public in my life. Being on the road in a scooter is, there's a reason that they don't have bumper stickers that say, start seeing scooters. You know, like the ones that say, start seeing motorcycles. I'm very happy that they actually came out with those bumper stickers, because it reminded me it was time to remove the motorcycle obscuring shield from my car. I'd had that applied for reasons I don't even remember, but I, you know, they're absolutely right, and I took it off, and I started singing motorcycles again, which was nice. But they don't have them for scooters because it's pointless. Nobody will ever see a scooter. Even when you hit them, you don't know that you've hit them. There's a little thump, and then you stop the car, or maybe you slow down. You look in the rearview mirror. And no, you don't see anything. And on you go. I took it to Washington, D.C. And I thought this would be smart because D.C. is a very hard town for parking. It's impossible. You find a parking space, and if you're 17 seconds late putting a quarter in the meter, you have a $40 ticket. It's the only thing that Washington does well, enforce the parking meters. So I'm driving around D.C. And frankly, I'm loving it there because I show up for my first day at the news bureau. I'm the columnist that they've brought in from the Midwest, and you know, no one knows what to expect. And here I come on a scooter with a ponytail. God. Scooter boy. Not perhaps what they expected in uptight D.C., man. I showed them. But anyway, so I'm driving around, and I'm going past the Treasury Building, and I'm going around the old City Hall, and a policeman who's directing traffic stops, points his finger at me, and points to the curb in the universal police gesture of, you, there, now. Well, I pulled over, imagining that this was it. I was going downtown. Well, I was already downtown. I'd be going into deep, deep downtown. I'd be going to the D.C. jail, from which no man ever emerged. Or so the legend had it. Which was sort of at odds with the fact that most criminals were released the day they were arrested. But anyway, I just expected that I'd be going down, I'd have to have my wife or editor come and bail me out. But, you know, the cop just gave me a stupid look, or rather a look to indicate that I was stupid, and said, where's your helmet? And I said, well, I'm from the planet Minnesota, sir. We don't have to have helmets there. And he informed me that this was a different world and that I should get one and go. So I left. But I didn't drive the scooter very much anymore. Even with the helmet, I feared the roads. The roads in D.C. are just generally craptacular. There's potholes that you would need a bathysphere to get to the bottom of. You could store, you know, deflated Zeppelins in them. They're just huge. And I knew at some point that I'd hit one of those potholes and flip out, and I'd be run over by a cab driver from Ghana whose shocks were so bad he wouldn't even know he'd hit me. Wouldn't even stop and look. So I put it in the basement, and there it sat. The tires went flat. I sold it. That was the end of me and motorcycles. And it was a wise, wise move, because eventually I would have crashed it again. And what does... Oh, man. You know, the Apple Pie Gang is... they're getting up, one after the other, and apparently they've been having a lot of coffee, or a lot of Jubal, or whatever they're drinking. And they're all making a conga line out to the water feature, where they are proudly micturating. Well, at least they have their backs to us. Hey, guys. Man. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, you crash. The sound of a motorcycle crash. Nothing comes to mind when you say motorcycle crash, does it? It's a fairly indistinct crashing and tinkling and crumpling. But a car crash is different. And if you're my age, or a particular demographic, or just have watched a lot of old television, or listened to a lot of old radio shows, you know what a car crash sounds like, because it seems, for a long, long time, from about 1942 to 1975, there was one sound that they used for car crashes. One sound. And I know that it's that one sound, because it had a particular audio detail that seemed to stand out and be at odds with the rest of it. And once you heard it, and once you recognized it, you expected it every time you heard or saw a car crash in a movie or something else. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody felt this way at the time in society, and nobody realized it. And what's more, that when people actually got into car crashes, they were vaguely disappointed that they didn't hear that sound right before they died. Of course, it's sort of hard to pull them and ask them. But well, I found it. I found that sound in an old episode of The Clock, a drama anthology show in 1947. I'm going to play this for you. You may have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, but it's quite possibly that the moment you hear this, you're going to say, ah, that bugged me too. Listen.
I said slow down, Eddie.
Sure, I'll slow down. Watch.
Stop this car, I'll shoot.
Come on, pat me. And then see how it feels to go into a ditch at 70 miles an hour.
Eddie, you'll kill us both. Slow down.
That's the idea, Lady Moulton. You catch on fast. I gotta go anyway. Now I'll have some company.
Eddie.
I'll give you what you asked for, you double-crossing little tramp. Sorry, I won't have time enough to kiss you goodbye.
Did you hear it? Do you know what I'm talking about? Let me give you the highlight again. And again. Louder. And in context. It's hard to describe that sound, but it's there. It's like Felix Unger's spinal column is being driven out of his nose. Sometimes it's more pronounced, sometimes it's not. But it's always in there, and I don't know what it is. A horn, I guess. But it's such a distinct sound, and so distinct from the screeching and the crashing, that it sticks out. And, for example, the first time I heard it, I know where I heard it. I was a small child listening to the 101 Dalmatians record, where Cruella de Vil crashes her car at the end, and then that horn was... And I remember at the time wondering, as a child, what the hell is that? Oh, well, maybe not in those exact words, but you know what I mean. Oh, well, look who's here.
Daddy, the big man wants to talk to you.
The big men over there, those motorcycle guys, they don't look very happy, do they? What did they say?
They said you ate all the pie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I'd better go talk to them, honey. Thank you
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Crap. I'll be right back.
Smoking river in her mouth, her head hanging northward as she travels south. Dirty on her Harley, but her nails are clean. Superpowers deflowered over 18 Irene. Center in the bear, where her tattoos and her chains wrap around her body, they're written all the names of prisons she's been. lovers she has seen. Good women bumping and in motorcycle Irene. Ground around like hamburger, laying in a splat. Tis Irene, her sheen I see.
I know, sorry, I'll turn it right off. I know, it's a horrible song. I just, it was about motorcycles. I thought you'd like it. Well,
apparently there's a price to be paid for enjoying the triangular goodness of the last piece of apple pie. They all came here expecting pie. There was no pie to be had. So, I'm supposed to go get pie. And I'm to take one of their bikes. Actually, I'm supposed to take a scooter. The guy says that there's a scooter in the side compartment of the larger Harley. So, let's go out and rev her up. My God, they've completely overflowed the water feature with their essences. Man, one more guy comes out here to relieve himself, this thing is going to be a tsunami. And overflow the banks, flood old Highway 23. It's a good thing I'm getting out of here right now. That's all right. This is the Harley, and there's the scooter in the glove compartment. Oh, whatever they call it. Wish me luck. It's been a while since I've been up on videos. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go get pie. I just know the consequences sound dire if I return around. Alright, well, I'm obviously not going to be back for a while, so we'll see you later, folks. Thanks for dropping by. I'm James Miles, and this has been The Diner for Friday, June 23rd, 2006. I'll see you next week.
That's what I always say.
Bad motorcycle, wun, wun, wun.
I'm going to go back to the same thing. Есть, есть, все, каждый есть.